Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's the Pink of the Bear Show.
Never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Three pieces and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The S-15 is a homicide bomber. Commercial for a popper pill culture. Drug companies circling like a vulture. Amorati babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother? Yell fire! With a warning, a revolution. Everyone addicted to the same nicotine. Everyone addicted to the same gasoline. Everyone addicted to a technicolor screen. Everybody trying to get their hands on the same green. From the banks of the river to the banks of the greedy. All of the riches taken back by the needy. We come from the country and we come from the city. Play us on a record, you can play us on a CD. All the shit you've given us is fertilizer. The seeds that you planted, you can never brutalize us. Now the corporation, you can never globalize it. Like Peter Tosh said, legalize it. Girls and boys hear the bass and the treble. Rumbling the speakers in and make you want to rebel. Throw your hands off, take it to another level. And you never, ever, ever make a deal with the devil. Yeah, fire.
Pacific time for all good vampires. all the folks of the Vampire Nation, all the vampires of the Vampire Nation, the Pinko Nation, welcome to the show. Excuse me, I'm talking a little too loud, I think. Anyway, so I got a show for you tonight. I got 2 hours to rant, ramble, and roll, to muse, to comment, to, I don't know, just tell you what's on my mind. I do it every, what is it? We should say Wednesday morning at midnight, but really, it's still Tuesday night to me. It's Tuesday until I go to sleep after the playback, sleep for 8 hours, and then get up. Then it'll be Wednesday, but at any rate, midnight Pacific time, Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, if you like, 2 hours of my thoughts on what the hell's going on in this world and what we can do about it. I gotta tell you, I did not prepare properly for the show. Prior planning prevents piss poor performance, my father always says, and he's right. But sometimes, you know, sometimes you can just pull a rabbit out of your hat, and that's what I plan on doing tonight. I will promise you this, though, tonight's show, it will be 2 hours long. Absolutely no commercial interruptions, but of course, I will have to play a song from time to time. I will have to, play a song, revolutionary sort of song, like that one, Yell Fire, my unofficial official theme song for several years now. The other one, of course, is The Dirty Fucking Hippies Were Right. Oh, by the way, this is an R-rated show. It's really ought to be called a PG-rated show. F-bombs do drop, but don't worry. F-bombs don't kill people. Say it with me. Real bombs kill people. So if you're worried about the F-bomb, put away the kitties. Put in your earbuds or something like that. All right, so I didn't have the proper time to prepare for the show. You may or may not know that I'm working a lot, and I've got stuff to do a lot when I'm not working. IWW meetings, Sierra Mountain Anti-Capitalist Collective meetings. Oh, shit, I missed both of them this week. But our new zine will be coming out soon. Trying to do one once a month. This one's been delayed. It'll be out soon. Check out on Facebook, Sierra Mountain Anti-Capitalist Collective, otherwise known as SMACC, S-M-A-C-C. We put out a zine, hand it out to the younger folks at the punk pirate parties or the punk shows, house parties, anywhere where young folk gather. Old folk need to, listen to this show or something. I don't know. But anyway, I digress. But yeah, check us out over there, Sierra Mountain Anti-Capitalist Collective. We are here in Reno, in the valley, in the foothills of the Sierra Mountains. Very nice. Very lovely, I must say. Except for the economy. It's very lovely, though. Except for the pigs. Very lovely, though, except for the city council and how everything is run by big business, except for the unemployment rate and the foreclosure. It's really a lovely, lovely place. Anyway, so on the agenda tonight, the main things I'm going to talk about President Obama and this ridiculous, unconstitutional, illegal, immoral act, of spying on peoples, yous, me's, everybody. This massive dragnet, just collecting everybody's information, emails and telephone conversations and so on and so on. And his pathetic little stance and little speeches about how we can't have 100% security. Shut up. Anyway. We're going to talk about that. I've got a couple of clips from Glenn Greenwald. I think one from Democracy Now!, one from CNBC. I've got one from Morning Joe. I'm not sure I'm going to play that one. But anyway, and then I'll try to kind of put it all in context for you if you don't already have the context. If you are a far-left-leaning, pinko-commie, radical, socialist, anarchist type, then, yeah, you probably already got it. But if you're just, you know, run-of-the-mill liberal or perhaps a conservative or a teabagger, excuse me, a tea partier, sorry, I don't want to be rude, but if, you know, if you're a libertarian, if you're a right libertarian, if you're an Ayn Randian, if you're an agnostic, maybe you're not listening to this show, but if you are, hang out, man, hang out, because I guarantee you a couple things. One, I'm not going to tell you anything that isn't absolutely true. If I say something that isn't absolutely true, I will preface it with, this is my opinion. But generally, I don't give a whole lot of opinions, or do I? I don't know. I just kind of tell the truth about things. I'm a big fan of the truth. I really am. There's no need to hide the truth. There's no need to hide obfuscate? I'm not even going to try. I don't use three-letter words on this show. I don't try to hide the truth. I just try to find out what it is and then try to share it. And I was having a conversation earlier tonight with somebody. Oh, I was at the IWW, the Industrial Workers of the World, our chapter, our branch, had its monthly meeting. Good stuff coming up, by the way. And before the meeting, I was talking to one of my brothers, and you know, it came up about how people just, they believe all sorts of crap. They believe Glenn Beck or Bill O'Reilly or, I don't know, MSNBC, CNN, their professors, their religious leaders, their Uncle Ernie, their Cousin Kevin. They believe all sorts of that. David Icke, for fuck's sake. You know, coast to coast, AM radio. They believe all sorts of the Illuminati, one world government, new world order. Right? Just it's there right on the dollar bill. See the eye? That proves it. And I saw some really cool videos on YouTube. It proves it all. People believe all sorts of stuff. And it doesn't matter how many believe, if they're believing in something that's not true. So I really just want to bring the truth to the surface about power systems, power, how it works, about the capitalist system, what is and is not propaganda. Actually, propaganda in the bad sense, as in, you know, lying to make you believe shit that isn't true. That's what I try to do on the show. And I was talking to a friend, and he's like, "Well, but people believe all this stuff." And I said, "Yeah, of course they do, because they're scared, because they're confused, because they're angry, scared, and confused, because they don't know what's up, because they're drowning in a sea of propaganda, and they can't tell what's, you know, right from wrong, what's true and what's not true." And I told him, I said, that's why we do what we do. That's why we organize. That's why we agitate. That's why we have these meetings. That's why I have this show. That's why we go on marches and demonstrations. That's why we have workshops and teach-ins. That's why we put out the Anti-Capitalist Collective zine, newsletter. Because people are looking for answers. And if people who have the correct answers are not there to share what is true, then they're going to swallow a bunch of baloney, to put it politely. They're going to believe whatever forceful person is screaming on the microphone, wearing a nice tie with a full head of hair on the TV machine, or on the radio that has a really nice voice and sounds confident. People will believe all sorts of things. And it's important when they're looking for answers, it's important not only that I have the answers, some of the answers, not all the answers, of course, but you have them too. And that's why, that's a big reason why I do this show, because it's my hopes that folks that listen might glean a little something from it. And then when they have a conversation with their crazy uncle, when they have a conversation with a coworker about how unions are destroying America or some crazy shit like that, or reptilians, or, you know, whatever, the New World Order. But when you, or they, I shouldn't say they, but when you, when you're armed with the correct answers, you can present those. Because it's important. It's important. Otherwise, you know what happened in Germany? People were angry. People were confused. People were pissed off. People were poor. They were oppressed. They were hurting. You know, after World War I, yeah, not so good, right? They're looking for answers. Some jackass with a comb over and a bad mustache starts giving them the answers. Well, it's the Jews. It's the trade unionists. It's the socialists. It's the communists. It's the, you know, at first they came for it, right? But if enough people were there to give alternative and true answers, perhaps the Germans wouldn't have gone down the road they went down with Herr Hitler back in the day. And I just think that it's important. So, all right, enough of me rambling about why I'm doing this. I do want to say the Monsanto March, about 2 weeks ago, I did not make it. I was working until, 6 a.m., and the march was at 10 a.m., and I had to work again at 6 a.m., so, Pinko needs to sleep. So I didn't make it, but several hundred turned out here in Reno, and I was really happy to hear that. Millions turned out around the world. But there's going to be a follow-up march on July 20th, folks. July 20th. Mark your calendars. Put it down in your little electronic device. Put it in their calendar. Do nothing on July 20th, except go to the Monsanto rally. There's going to be one in your town, unless you live in a very small town. So wherever you are, just Google your town, Monsanto, March, July 20th, and be a part of that. I implore you. The IWW is helping to organize the march here in Reno. I can't give you details, but I'm pretty happy about that. And just remember, it doesn't matter if we win right now or next week or next year or 10 decades from now. The whole history of mankind is class struggle. You don't plant the tree when you're 60 years old because you think you're going to enjoy the shade from it. You plant it for the next generation. So don't get discouraged in whatever you're doing. You don't think you're reaching enough people. You don't think you're changing enough minds. You're having Facebook conversations with, dare I say, obots. You're having conversations and people don't get it. Just plant the seed, because just because you don't change that person's mind, people reading your threads, your blogs, your conversations on Facebook, overhearing your conversations about politics, people overhearing that might just start to catch on. And that's what we need. We need a whole lot of catching on. We need, not everyone. We need about 10% of the population to catch on. Great changes happen when a critical mass, a tipping point is reached. Women's suffrage, end of slavery, civil rights, Vietnam ending that freaking war. Women's right to vote, for what the vote is worth. But these things happen because a tipping point is reached, and it's really only about 10%. So yeah, we're in the minority. Radicals are in the minority. Thinkers are in the minority. People who understand what's going on are in the minority. But it just takes a few of us to rattle the cages, to agitate, and then organize the rest of them. And 10% is really all we need. Because the only thing that's ever changed anything in this world, or let's just say in this country, politically, is mass movements, demonstrations, sit-ins, strikes. Speaking the truth to power doesn't do a goddamn thing, okay? I hate that. Well, we're going to speak truth to power. No. Power already knows the truth. Power doesn't give a rat's rear end. No, they already know. Don't bother signing any more petitions. Tell Obama to do this. Tell Congress to do that. No, really? No. No, not going to do it. It's not going to cut it. I mean, if that's the best you can do, you know, you do what you can when you can. But if that's the best you can do, go ahead and see how it works out for you, right? Get involved with radical organizations in your community. Find them. They're there. You're not alone. I was so happy. We had our IWW meeting at Strega Bar tonight, 7 o'clock, and it's not very busy there. We had one of the side rooms, and then after the meeting, the bar's open. Of course, the bar's open. I go out there and I look around, and it's like 90%, you know, 30 people, all radicals, all lefties, all people who know what's going on. A couple of years ago, I didn't know a soul in this town that was like this, that thought like this. But you just make one friend, and that one friend will have friends, and they'll have friends. Next thing you know, you've got a nice little core group that can do all sorts of stuff. Here in town, we're feeding the homeless on Saturdays through RISE, Reno Initiative for Shelter and Equality. That grew out of Occupy. Some of our members of IWW came out of Occupy, smack out of Occupy. People want social justice. People are looking for answers, and they're looking for action. Just connect with them in your hometown. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. All right, so that was that was an unplanned 10-minute, I don't know, wasn't a rant, but whatever it was. I told you I didn't really plan the show tonight. Not that well. Usually I write it all out and kind of figure out what I'm going to do, but we're just winging it tonight. What the hell? I do want to start with this. A comrade of mine, evil Justin Jones, one of the smartest teenagers in the country, as far as these kind of things go. I don't know if he can play chess or do math, but he certainly is correct in his understanding of politics and power and such. And I always enjoy Justin's posts. But he posted something from somebody else, and I want to read it to you just maybe to start off this part of the show. I like it a lot. Quote, since capitalism and wage slavery began, millions of laws have been passed, but capitalism and wage slavery still remain. The truth is, all the laws only serve to make capitalism stronger and to perpetuate the workers' subjugation. It is the business of politicians to make you believe that the laws protect your interests, while it merely serves to keep up the system that robs, dupes, and enslaves you in body and mind. All the institutions in society have one object in view: to instill in you a respect for law and government, to awe you with its authority and sanctity, and thus support the social framework which rests upon your ignorance and your obedience. The whole secret of the thing is that the masters want to keep their stolen possessions, see? Law and government are the means by which they do it. End quote. Alexander Berkman. Oh, an anarchist. Say it ain't so. And by the way, if the word anarchy scares you, or anarchists scare you, and you think it's, you know, some crazy chaos free-for-all thing, think again. Had a conversation on my Facebook page with a woman who agreed. She said, yeah, I agree with most, she didn't say all, but most of what you post and what you say. But I'm afraid of anarchy. Well, I, of course, just told her that if you're afraid of anarchy, you don't understand anarchy. If you're afraid of anarchy, you have a definition in your head that isn't the actual definition of anarchy. You probably are picking up stuff through the media, you know, teenagers wearing black, covering their faces, throwing bricks through Starbucks windows. Dogs and cats living together. Oh, my God. Anarchy, chaos. No, it's not that at all. Just wanted to make that clear. And I got a kick out of one of my Burning Man friends when I posted that. He says, oh, my God, I love this. It's how I view and how I live my life. Freedom is not something. It is everything. To which I, of course, replied then, well, you're an anarchist. Like Berkman. Anyway. Oh, by the way, there is a chat room open. You are welcome to it. I see a couple of guests in there already. If you're a guest and you would like to actually use the chat room where you can type and talk to other folks, it takes about 2 minutes. Just give Blog Talk Radio, make up a name. Like, I don't know, Pinko the Bear is taken. Here Be Monsters is taken. But make up a screen name. Make up a password, give them a working email, doesn't even have to be your main one, and you can use all the functions in the chat room. I know it's midnight, you know, Pacific, 3 a.m. East, so there's not a lot of people up in the chat room at this time, but that's fine. All the shows are posted afterwards as well. I need to give a shout-out to the Commons Project Network, some friends of mine over there. Worldwide Hippies has a show. AWOP Radio has a show. Pink of the Bear has a show. Authority Smashing Hour has a show. Here Be Monsters has a show. I am, in case you're confused about the tie-in between Pink of the Bear and Here Be Monsters, I'm using Here Be Monsters' platform. I'm using their account. It's Gwen. Thank you, Gwen, again, for allowing me to use this, use your airtime on Tuesdays or Wednesday mornings. But anyway, the CommonsProjectNetwork.com. We hope that it's going to be a hub for all things lefty. No party line Democrats. No, I'm in the two party system, which is really the uniparty. But you know, lefties, real lefties, radicals, pinkos, commies, anarchists. A little one stop shopping place. Tons of different shows. Tons of different personalities. So. TheCommonsProjectNetwork.com. All right. Another one of my favorite people on Facebook for the last few years is Lee Burkett. And I want to share this status before we get into the Glenn Greenwald thing, before we get into the turkey thing, the inequality thing, if we have time. I want to share this. And I really appreciate Lee if you're listening. Here's the thing. We're at a point where we must accept that many people are simply incapable of understanding the reality of our situation. As a nation, our government has become nothing less than a full-blown fascist tyranny, an illegal, dangerous, and ultimately evil minion to the billionaires whose only goal is to own all resources and enslave 7 billion human beings. Economically enslaved. As a people, we have given up on any sense of morality from our leaders or from ourselves. We're waging war across the earth, while at home the numbers of poor, the numbers of hungry, homeless, and hopeless grow on a daily basis. The corporations that control our government, the media, and to a large extent our thinking are poisoning the air, the land, and the water. And there's no need to accept any of this. You either get that, or no amount of intellectual debate, proofs, or real-world cause and effect will ever make you understand it. And there's a line in the sand, folks. You're either an enemy of the empire, doing all in your power to dispossess the elite, resisting in every way you can, or you're part of empire and all the evil that it brings. It's kind of like what Bush said. Either you're with us or you're against us. It really not quite, I think, not quite that black and white. I think there's a lot of people who aren't quite sure. They're looking for answers. They're angry. They're upset. They've lost their homes. They've lost their jobs. Their kids moved back in with them. They haven't had any real wage increase in 30 years. They're in debt up to their eyeballs. And they're looking for answers. So we have to provide the answers. But I get what he's saying, and I like it. I just think there are some people that are still reachable. Not everybody. I had to delete an Obot off my Facebook page and just last night. Unbelievable. Couldn't understand why I disliked Obama. And I explained, it's not Obama himself. I mean, he's just one figurehead, one more puppet in a long line of puppets that serve the ruling class. But he just couldn't understand how killing 4 American citizens without a trial, having them assassinated by drones, couldn't understand why that was a bad thing. He couldn't understand why bombing 6 sovereign nations was a bad thing. Points to nice speeches and stuff that he says, but never, of course, acknowledging the realities of his beloved president. You know, I was going to get into the Greenwald thing, but this kind of goes with it. I might as well do this. So one of my favorite sites is the Op-Ed News. If you're looking for, you know, good information, WSWS.org or opednews.com. I like them both. But this came out, I don't know, yesterday, I guess. A couple of days ago, maybe. The mask of liberalism falls as their pundits accuse Snowden of being a traitor and narcissist. Now, and this is by Rob Call. He's the editor over at Op-Ed News. And if you don't know who Snowden is, then maybe you haven't been paying any attention. But he's the one behind the Glenn Greenwald leak, and he's the one that the authorities are looking for. They're going to try to do a Bradley Manning on him. He's a traitor! Because he was telling the truth about stuff and, you know, whistleblowing, basically. But anyway, I'm going to share this with you. There's something happening with the revelations from Edward Snowden through Glenn Greenwald's Guardian team. That's Guardian UK, the paper he writes for. There's something happening, folks. The liberal pundits in America are coming out. They're revealing themselves to be duopolist sycophants, serving the corporate state, serving the worst abuser of executive privilege in the United States history. The liberal mainstream media is so out of the closet, they are disgustingly naked. They're calling Edward Snowden, who is absolutely a courageous hero, they're calling him a traitor, they're calling him a narcissist. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Toobin suggests that because he left his good job and left his girlfriend, that he's being a narcissist. Really, saying this shit on TV, like that matter. Funny. If a guy leaves a job in pro sports to enlist in the Army, right? Leaves his family. Oh, he's a hero. Pat Tillman, remember him? He's a hero. He left a job, pro sports, right? What a pure crock from a collection of limp liberals who wouldn't know courage if it bit him in the ass. You watch former Obama appointees on MSNBC basically performing oral service for Obama. They've sold out the values that the Democratic Party is supposed to and used to have, and they've become political operatives themselves. There are a few on MSNBC who didn't cave to the Obama Democratic Party line, but too many are buying the idea that the Patriot Act, more good than bad, or is more, they're buying the idea that it's more good than bad, that spying on tens of millions of Americans as an excuse for national security is a good thing. No, it's not a good thing. It's a very bad thing. And this thinking, this, well, I don't have anything to hide, let them spy. Well, you know what? It's bad for America. And it's moving us further towards a police state. And we're already way too far down that road, folks. So American liberals have become worthless. Let me say that again. American liberals have become worthless. Liberal used to be a term used with disdain by the right. And at this point, the term liberal has become a derisive term that should be used for dupes who still believe that the Democrats and Obama have anything to do with the ideas and values liberals used to think about and embrace. And the liberals have become part of the problem. And it's not all their fault, right? It's not. Don't turn off the radio if you're a liberal. Just listen, hear me out. It's not all your fault. Liberals, they've been sold a bill of goods by the mainstream media. But you know what? It's their fault for not waking up to the reality that the mainstream media, owned by huge corporations, has no interest in what used to be liberal values. The progressives are a different creature. We know about mainstream media. We know about Obama and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats who called Ed Snowden a traitor as easily as they vote to protect Monsanto, to protect Big Pharma, to protect the fucking banksters. We know that Eric Holden is, by protecting big banksters, as much a criminal as they are. Obama's a different story. He's no liberal. He never was, folks. Never was. The thing is, now, when people support this mass murderer who's prosecuted more whistleblowers than all past presidents combined, they're fully exposing themselves as duopolist corporatists. And they are the traitors to the values that Americans fought and died for. I like the way Rob Call, K-A-L-L, I like the way he writes. Executive director, publisher, and website architect of Op-Ed News, host of the Rob Call Bottom Up Radio Show. We should probably invite Bottom Up Radio to be part of the Commons Project Network. Don't you think, Gwen, if you're listening? David, if you're listening? Kim? Joe, comrades at TCPN, we should invite Rob Call to have his radio. Now, his radio is actual terrestrial, WNJC 1360 AM. I believe that would be in New Jersey. Probably heard in New York as well. Anyway, I just wanted to get that off my chest because we're going to talk about Snowden some more, and I'm going to play some Glenn Greenwald clips. But right now, I've been talking too long. I think it's time for a clip. Now the trick is, what's the right clip to play after talking about how liberals are really showing themselves to be servants of the empire? I got it. How about this one here? It's Pink of the Bear Show. Don't go away. little Jello, Jello Biafra. That's actually a that's an old who did that song? Phil Oakes. How can I forget Phil Oakes? But that's the Jello Biafra from the Dead Kennedys, his cover. Yeah, tears ran down my spine. I cried when they shot Mr. Kennedy, as though I'd lost a father of mine. Nice liberal thought right there. But Malcolm X got what was coming. He got what he asked for this time. So love me, I'm a liberal. Oh, I go to civil rights rallies, and I put down the old DAR. I love Harry and Sidney and Sammy. I hope every colored boy becomes a star. Oh, isn't that nice? But don't talk about revolution, because that's going a little bit too far. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. I cheered when Humphrey was chosen, my faith in the system restored. I'm glad the commies were thrown out of the AFL-CIO board. I love Puerto Ricans and Negroes, as long as they don't move next door. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. The people of old Mississippi should all hang their heads in shame. I can't understand how their mind works. What's the matter? Don't they watch Les Crane? But if you ask me to bust my children, I hope the cops take down your name. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. Should I go on? There's two more verses. Wow, why not? Go on, Pinko. Two more verses. Okay. I vote for the Democratic Party. They want the UN to be strong. I go to all the Pete Seeger concerts. He sure gets me singing those songs. I'll send all the money you ask for, but don't ask me to come along. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. You see, once I was young and impulsive. I wore every conceivable pin. Went to all the socialist meetings, learned all the old union hymns. But now I've grown older and wiser. And that's why I'm turning you in. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. Damn. Does that make a little more impact than the just hearing the song? Maybe it does. What's wrong with liberals? It's funny. I went to the Socialism 2010 conference up in Chicago, and I still considered myself a liberal. And I didn't understand the lyrics to that song, and I didn't understand. But I listened. I opened my eyes, opened my ears, talked to people. I get it now. And if you're a liberal, I'm not making fun of you. I was, I was a Republican one time. Not making fun of you. I'm just pointing some things out. Okay, maybe I'm having a little fun. So Gore Vidal had it 100% right on the nose. He told an audience of old liberals in a Barnes & Noble in a bookstore just before or after the election. And he was that Obama was basically just another novelty from the ruling class, a novelty that they would use to manage the country as they always had used people to manage the country. Basically, he was a tool, a stooge. And Vidal called the audience a bunch of morons to their wrinkled faces, and people turned to their neighbors as if to say, he's not talking about me, is he? Well, you know what he was? Obama, man, he's just a fucking Trojan horse who has done everything that the ruling class required of him while bullshitting all the rubes. Hey, I voted for the guy one time. I had a little bit of hope. I had like 5% hope. I was hoping he might be a little FDR-ish, things would get better, but capitalism would continue, unfortunately. But, of course, that didn't happen. Damn sure didn't vote for him the second time. So I've got this Cornel West clip. He was on Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman just shortly after the election. And it's really very good. Unfortunately, the clip has not uploaded properly. There was some sort of error. But, oh, it would have been perfect. Basically, Cornell was saying, yeah, we spend $6 billion on the election cycle. $2 billion alone just for the presidential, but $6 billion for elections. And no serious discussions. No serious discussions about unending war, about the Patriot Act, about drone program killing innocent men, women, and children. None of that. No serious discussion about education. No serious discussion about bringing manufacturing jobs back to America. Or no serious discussion about putting banksters in jail. It's shameful. And yet, too many of us still pay attention to this quadrennial puppet show. I wish I had the clip because he could say it way better than I could say it. I just was paraphrasing. All right, so what's next? So let me get to this clip from Glenn Greenwald. I don't want to spend the whole show doing what I've already been doing. But I've got a clip from Glenn. And now he lives in South America. I can't remember. Brazil, perhaps, with his partner. And when they say partner, I'm assuming male partner. And they've got universal health care down there. You know, we don't have it here, right? And he writes for The Guardian UK. And he tells the truth about stuff. And for some reason, the mainstream media actually let him come on and make a bunch of appearances. And they did very poorly arguing their case for the spying, arguing their case in favor of the Obama administration. And Greenwald basically cleaned up on him a couple of times. I don't watch a lot of mainstream media, but I do get the clips because I got a lot of good friends who share that stuff on Facebook. So let me find one of these Glenn Greenwald clips. This one, oh, now I've got one from CNBC, and then I've got one from Morning Joe. And the Morning Joe one, it's a little bit longer, if I can find it. This is do-it-yourself radio, by the way. Do-it-yourself radio meaning no producer. You just kind of, you know, do it yourself. Here it is. Glenn Greenwald on Morning Joe. And just listen to Mika, daughter of, I don't know, war criminal. and Joe, former Republican from the House, claims to be kind of liberal, whatever. But let's listen to this and just decide for yourself what's going on.
Because I welcome a debate with those who disagree with me about these programs. So you can't talk about these programs publicly, so that's going to be a bit of a muted debate. Glenn, I want to continue on just how expansive this program has become and how it's even gone past the original confines of what people expected the Patriot Act to be interpreted as. Jane Sensenbrenner, who is a Republican, very conservative Republican, who is the author of the Patriot Act, says this goes well beyond what he and others anticipated the Patriot Act to be used for. Can you give us some more specifics about just how much more expansive from what you've told? I mean, I'm sure we're going to learn much, much more in the coming weeks and months, and so many things that we're being told right now will end up not being true as well, because that's the way stories like this go. But from what you know right now, how has this administration and the Bush administration expanded the Patriot Act well beyond what the authors intended originally?
Tell it, Glenn.
So let me just answer that in two ways. So if you go back and read the debates about the Patriot Act when they were first introduced, the reason the Patriot Act was so controversial was because it was not the case in the past that in order for the government to be able to target individuals and convince a court to let them have access to their records, you had to have probable cause that the person was engaged in wrongdoing. And what the Patriot Act did was it lowered that standard. So it said now all you need is a reasonable basis to believe that the person is involved in wrongdoing before you can get their records. And that was incredibly controversial. It was considered a radical departure from the way that the United States is supposed to work. But even back then, nobody thought, and just go read the debates about the Patriot Act in late 2001, early 2002, nobody had any inkling that the government would ever use the Patriot Act not to target specific individuals and say there's reasonable basis or probable cause to believe they're wrongdoing, but to use the Patriot Act to say this entitles us to collect records for every single American, regardless of whether or not we've done anything wrong. That was never the intention, even by the radical people who advocated the Patriot Act, that that is how it would be used. And that's what Senator Wyden and Senator Udall have been saying. And let me just say one other thing. More broadly speaking, what the NSA is, we are putting trillions of dollars into developing extremely sophisticated technology. The idea, the objective of this is to enable the NSA to monitor every single conversation and every single form of human behavior anywhere in the world. That's, and if that is something that we want our government to be doing, we should have an open debate about that, not have it done in secret.
An incredibly important question that affects all of us. We have to put it in perspective. I want to bring Richard Haass in, but quickly, I just want an answer yes or no. Isn't it the case that reviewing of emails or any wiretapping cannot take place without an additional warrant from a judge and a review? I mean, it's not like there's haphazard probing into all of our personal emails. Can we put this into context so we understand exactly what's going on?
Yeah, I'll put it into context for you. The White House talking points that you're using are completely misleading and false. The whole point of what the Bush administration did when it disregarded and violated the FISA law, and then when the Congress on a bipartisan basis enacted a new surveillance law in 2008, was to enable the NSA to read emails between people in the United States and people outside of the United States without having first to go to a FISA court and get a warrant. The only time individual warrants are needed is when two people are both inside the United States and are both American citizens. But under that law, the U.S. government and the NSA have the power and exercise the power to listen in on telephone conversations and read emails involving all kinds of American citizens. And the Senate has been repeatedly asking for the numbers of how many Americans they're doing that to, and the NSA keeps saying, and it's false, they can't provide those numbers. So those talking points that you're reading from are completely false, as anybody who's paid even remote attention to the surveillance debate knows over the last 10 years.
Glenn, I'd like to ask a question. Is this legal or illegal? Or Richard Haass, can you help me out here since Glenn doesn't want to answer the question? Is the law being broken here?
I did answer your question.
I question the law. I question all the issues that this raises. I'm personally concerned as well, but I'd like to put this in perspective.
Sure,
is the law being broken?
The law was broken by one person, who was Mr. Snowden. Now, you might think the law is unwise. You may think the policy is unwise. And if that's the case, there are mechanisms for challenging it.
But I also think, I mean, the way the law is being interpreted right now is so excessive compared. There's no way in the world. There's no way in the world Congress would have passed this law in the fall of 2001, if they had known this is where we're going.
Congress has had many chances, though, to roll it back. That's the way things work. I wouldn't call it excessive.
Can I make a point?
Yeah. Sure, Glenn.
Regarding the question of illegality, let me just say this. The ACLU and other groups have been trying for 5 years now to go into court and challenge the constitutionality of the surveillance law by claiming that it violates the Fourth Amendment. We do have a constitution in the United States regarding searches and seizures. And the U.S. government has successfully blocked any challenge on the grounds that, well, we keep it a secret who it is that we eavesdrop. And because we keep it a secret, no one person can say they've been eavesdropped on and therefore doesn't have standing in court to challenge the law. So if you want to talk about legality, the Obama Justice Department has repeatedly blocked courts from ruling on the legality, namely the constitutionality, of this law. If they think it's so legal, let there be a challenge in court. Don't stop raising procedural issues to have the case thrown out, and let a court decide whether or not this really is legal.
Right.
And if it's legal, so be it. But there has been no adjudication.
Yeah, right. Let there be a challenge. Whoa. We don't need to hear that, do we? There we go. Hey. What do they like to say? Well, if you don't have anything to hide, you shouldn't be afraid. Well, how about we just turn that around and put it onto the government? Huh? How about if you don't have anything to hide, government, then why are you so freaking afraid? Why are you prosecuting whistleblowers? We have whistleblower protection laws, but you're ignoring them. We got heroes like Assange and Bradley Manning in jail. Well, Assange isn't in jail, but well, basically, he's still living at the embassy. And they want to put Snowden in jail. and on trial for treason. Are you kidding me? You know, Bradley Manning released the all those documents a few years back, and that collateral murder, it was disgusting. If you haven't seen the video, just Google collateral murder. I don't know. They probably try to keep taking it down. I used to have the audio on my old switchboard. But it is disgusting. They killed a bunch of innocent civilians. A couple of Reuters news reporters just murdered them from a mile away in a helicopter gunship. Just murdered them. And then when the first responders showed up, you know, the heroes, the first responders, well, just open up and kill all of them too. Wounded a couple of children. Disgusting. War crimes. War crimes. No doubt about it. Bradley Manning puts that out there, and now he's on trial. Yeah, let there be a court challenge to this spying bullshit. If our government thinks that they're correct and that they can prove it in a court of law, let them prove it in an open court where everybody can watch and everybody can see. But no. They're not, because they know they're wrong. They're just tightening the noose of the police state. So anyway, so he handled that one very well. That was on Morning Joe. I don't normally watch. I don't ever watch Morning Joe. I gave up on it a couple years ago. I was like, are you kidding me? But I'm glad to see the clips when they have somebody like Glenn on, because he's a very smart fellow. And you should be reading his stuff over at the Guardian UK, and it gets, you know, it goes to Alternet, it goes to Truth Out, Truth Dig, other aggregators pick it up. It goes to my wall at the Pink of the Bear show on Facebook. But he did another interview with CNBC, you know, the business channel, and they've got real lightweight, you know, eye candy kind of, you know, spokesmodels on that program, and he ate her up. Just a matter of me finding the link. Ah, here it is. On CNBC.
Greenwald is a columnist for The Guardian who broke this story. Glenn, good morning to you.
Good morning.
As we just heard, the Department of Justice has now opened a leak investigation. When was the last time you spoke with Edward Snowden?
I spoke with him probably around 5 or 6 hours ago.
Have there been any contacts to him by the U.S. government, any agency of the U.S. government, as far as you know?
No, I don't believe there has been any. I'm not sure that they actually know where he is or how to communicate with him, and they have not communicated with him to my knowledge.
Glenn, in the video, as we just saw, Snowden makes what I consider to be a rather remarkable claim, stating, quote, I, sitting at my desk, certainly had the authorities to wiretap you, your accountant, a federal judge, even the president, if I had a personal email. Let's make a distinction here. He didn't say that he had the ability to do it. For example, if he went rogue, he said he had the legal authority to do it. Did you follow up and ask him what legal authority that purports to be?
Whoa.
That isn't what he said. He didn't say he had the legal authority. That's a word that you included in the statement that he didn't actually include. What
he
meant was that given – yeah, he said authority, not legal authority, which is what you just quoted him as saying. And what
English,
I'm
motherfucker.
That is a misquotation, because what he was clearly saying was that – and the point that you ought to be interested in as a journalist, more so than the one that you asked, is that people who sit at the NSA desk, thousands of them, have the authority, meaning the NSA has given them the power to be able to go in and scrutinize the communications of any American. It may not be legal, but they have the power to do it. And because all of this takes place in the dark with no accountability and no checks, that's the reason why he felt so compelled to inform his fellow citizens about the capabilities this massive surveillance apparatus provides, because it's so conducive to abuse.
But it is an interesting point, right? I mean, he's saying it is conducive to abuse, but what he isn't saying is that doing so would be within the strictures of U.S. law. In fact, in other words, that U.S. law allows him to do something like this.
Well, I think the really important point here is that there have been many efforts on the part of the ACLU and other advocacy groups to go into court and to challenge the constitutionality of the surveillance system and to ask federal courts to rule about whether or not what the Obama administration and the Bush administration before them is doing is actually consistent with the Fourth Amendment. And rather than let those lawsuits proceed, the government has continuously said it is too secretive to allow courts to review. And because we do all of this in the dark, nobody can prove they've been eavesdropped on and therefore don't have standing to sue. So if this is really legal, why doesn't the government allow federal courts to rule on whether or not our constitutional rights are being violated as citizens? It's because they do everything in secret, which is why we need whistleblowers to come forth like Mr. Snowden so that we can have some transparency on political officials.
Fair enough. The government comes in, makes the argument that this is protected by the state secrets privilege. Then a federal judge rules on that. And in this case, the federal judge said that the state secrets privilege was asserted properly. That is within the law, is it not?
Right. Actually, that's not at all what happened. What happened was the ACLU went into court and asked for a ruling on the constitutionality of the law. And what the federal government said is you have no ability to prove that your clients were actually eavesdropped on. You can't prove they were subjected to surveillance because everyone that we surveil, we keep that a secret. And therefore, your clients have no standing to sue. Part of what the documents include that he turned over is a list of the people that the U.S. government has been targeting. And one of the reasons he did that was so those lawsuits finally can proceed so that we can now know who has been subjected to this surveillance so they can go into court and ask a court ruling for a court ruling on whether or not this is a violation of the Constitution to have this massive surveillance system aimed at millions of Americans, regardless of whether there's evidence of any wrongdoing.
And then finally, as you well know, the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, called these revelations literally gut-wrenching. In response, you tweeted, "Save some melodrama and rhetoric for coming stories. You'll need it."
Yeah.
Right, because in every single case over the past 4 to 5 decades, when there are revelations of wrongdoing that is done in secret, what the strategy of the U.S. government is to come out and try and scare the American public into saying, these people have jeopardized you, there's going to be a terrorist attack. There is not a single revelation that we provided to the world that even remotely jeopardizes national security. The only thing that has been jeopardized is the reputation and credibility of the people in power who are engaged in this massive spying program and wanted to do it in the dark. And we, as journalists, I think our number one obligation should be not to allow government officials to scream terrorists and try and scare people every time there's transparency brought to them, but instead scrutinize whether those claims are valid. And there's not anything that we disclose to the world that can remotely or conceivably be said to harm national security in any way.
All right, Glenn Greenwald, thank you for your perspective this morning. We appreciate it.
Yeah, it's his perspective. No, it's the fucking truth. Oh, I did like the way that he said several times, we as journalists, like including her as a journalist, like maybe, I don't know, trying to get her to wake up. But, you know, these folks on CNBC and so many of the other stations, they basically just, you know, read, you know, they take the position that they're told to take and they read the talking points, whether the talking points are true or not. And in this case, she read them and they were untrue. And of course, she never admitted it. Because she doesn't know. Because she shows up for work and reads like an actress, like a spokesmodel. And this isn't a sexist thing. The guys do it too. The spokesmodels. And they just read. And then they come across somebody like Glenn every once in a while. I bet he won't be invited back anytime soon. You know, how the major news corporations didn't know how smart and how well-armed and how intelligent and well-spoken and articulate this man is and how logical he is. How they didn't know that and how they didn't know their little spokesmodels would get in trouble and get the smackdown. I don't know. Hard to believe. Yeah, the ACLU and other groups have been trying for 5 years now to go into court and challenge the constitutionality of the surveillance law by claiming that it violates the Fourth Amendment. 5 years they've been trying to do this. And Glenn says, yeah, we do have a constitution in the United States regarding searches and seizures. Well, we do. It's not obviously not worth the paper it's written on. Interesting side note, the Constitution was not written on hemp paper. A lot of people on the interwebs think it is because I keep seeing that stupid meme going around. I guess the potheads can't use a simple Google search and find out that that's untrue. It's not written on hemp paper. I'm just telling you. Anyway, the U.S. government has successfully blocked any challenge on the grounds that we keep it a secret who it is that we eavesdrop on. And since we keep it a secret, and this is the thing, since we keep it a secret, no one person can say they've been eavesdropped on and therefore have no standing in court to challenge the law. This is the government's argument. Hey, we're not telling anybody who we're spying on. And in order to challenge something in court, you have to have standing. You have to have legal standing. And, well, if they don't tell who they're spying on, then nobody has legal standing. They can spy on everybody. It is insane. It is an insane world run by insane people for insane purposes. So if we want to talk about legality, the Obama Justice Department has repeatedly blocked courts from ruling on the legality, mainly the constitutionality of this law. If they think it's so legal, let there be a challenge in court. I didn't know I was going to go like an hour on this, but this is kind of a big deal. I mean, it really is. It's kind of a big deal. Take a breath with me. Have a beer, have a cocktail, smoke them if you got them. I'll be back in 3 minutes. It's the Think of the Bear Show.
Yes?
What are you doing?
I'm reading some Karl Marx.
O-M-G. I thought I just wanted to pass good grades for all I cared for. My college made me take this class, more stuff for me to ignore. But then I found out that his theories weren't so bad. Labor and class combat, what a very clever man. I read some Marx and I liked it, a friend of the proletariat. I read some Marx just to try it. I hope Adam Smith don't mind it. It felt so wrong, it felt so right. Men of the working class unite. I read some Marx and I liked it. I liked it. There is a specter hanging o'er the face of Europe, 'tis communism and it's more than a social hiccup. A time will come soon when the masses rise as one to carve out their place in the brand new poetry to come. I read some Marx and I liked it, the friend of the proletariat. I read some Marx just to try it. I hope Adam Smith don't mind it. It felt so wrong, it felt so right. Men of the working class unite. I read some Marx and I liked it.
I like this. Marx is the man, he's working for you. The bourgeoisie, they just ain't your crew. Alienation of labor is bad. Commodification is not a good bet. Capitalists are greedy, you see. A shorter work day, now that's what we need. I'm reading some Marx and I'm liking it. Rise up now, proletariat. I read some Marx and I liked it.
The friend of the proletariat.
I read some Marx just to try it.
I hope Adam Smith don't mind it.
It felt so wrong, it felt so right. Men of the working class unite. I read some Marx and I liked it.
elected.
I like it a lot. Anyway, it is Pink on the Bear Show, hour one, plus 12 down. Got about 48 minutes to go. By the way, if you want to call in and talk about anything going on in the world, 213-816-0357. Like I said at the top of the show, I was very busy today, and I did not take the normal several hours to prepare the show, get it all lined up, have my clips ready, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we're just winging it tonight. So calls are welcome. I just wanted to share. I kind of, what did they do? I paraphrased John Lennon a while ago, and I think maybe I should read you the actual quote. But I don't have an English accent, but I'll try. I think our society – no, I can't do an English – I won't do an English accent. I think our society is run by insane people for insane objectives. I think we're being run by maniacs for maniacal ends. I think they're all insane. But I'm liable to be put away as insane for expressing that. That's what's insane about it. Don't you agree? Don't you? John Lennon, man. John Lennon, man. His name was John Lennon. And this, I want to share this as real quick too. One of those little memes that's going around on Facebook. But yes, we can. It's a picture of Obama, right? Black in the background, brown face, shadowy. Yes, we can attack more countries than George W. Bush. Yes, we can. Kill anybody we want. Yes, we can execute U.S. citizens without a trial. 4 so far. Yes, we can detain anybody without a trial forever, forever, ever, ever, forever, ever, ever. Sorry, Ms. Jackson. We got your kid in Guantanamo. Yes, we can keep Guantanamo open. Yes, we can not talk to our adversaries. Yes, we can incite creative chaos, in quotes, wherever we want to. And yes, we can read your emails, chats, and listen to your phone calls or your radio show. Unfortunately, yes, he can. Unfortunately. All right, I think maybe it's time to change subjects. Obviously, we'll be following this on the show week to week. So, if you're on Facebook, look for somebody named Jenna Pope, J-E-N-N-A-P-O-P-E, Jenna Pope. She is in Gezi Park in Turkey. People are pissed off. Like I told you last week, it's not about a park, but it's about the wholesale sale of their country, the public domain, public spaces, publicly owned utilities. It's about the wholesale country sale of their country to the billionaire killionaire class. And I've been following her for about 5 days now. She is posting extraordinary pictures. And I know this is radio and you can't see those pictures. That's why I'm telling you, get online, Jenna Pope, and she would be the one in Turkey. And I just want to scroll through some of her status updates. Hearing reports here. This was 11 hours ago. Hearing reports that thousands, possibly tens of thousands, are marching from the neighborhood of Gazi towards Gezi Park. She got that from a TV station there in town. There was basically a blackout for the first 5 or 7 days of this protest uprising. I'd call it an uprising at this point, police riots and the whole thing. Great picture. Protester launching a tear gas canister back towards the police tonight on a street a few blocks from Tascom Square. So cops are using tear gas and water cannon. She put cannons, but I think it's proper to say cannon. Plural, to attempt to clear the area, and are pushing back other protesters who are trying to get into the square. Jenna Pope. It's 1 a.m. in Turkey. and people in the neighborhood, this is 10 hours ago. It's after 1 a.m. in Turkey, and people in the neighborhood I'm at, blocks from Tascom Square, are just starting banging on drums and pots and pans as cops continue to throw tear gas in and around Tascom Square. This is happening. Great pictures. Get over there. Jenna Pope on Facebook. Follow her. You can't add her as a friend, I don't think, but I think you can follow her. Protesters moving further from Tascom Square as tear gas fills the air. Cops are using water cannon and tear gas to push back protesters who are attempting to get near Tascom Square. Great pictures. A lot of ski goggles, masks, respirators. All that stuff we wear at Burning Man. You look at these pictures and you think, well, they don't look any different than us. And by the way, this isn't some Islamist thing going on over there. It's a secular government. This is about a move towards fascism. This is about a crackdown on civil liberties. This is about a government not being responsive to the needs and the will of the people. This is not about ideology. Nine hours ago, I'm now hearing sounds of tear gas being launched closer to where I'm at. Cops must be pushing people even further from Tascom Square. And folks, if you want to know what it looks like from inside the tear gas, get over to her page on Facebook, Jenna Pope, two N's. Right in the middle of the tear gas, you can hardly see anything. Pretty stunning. Thousands of protesters on Istiklal Street, just blocks from Tascom Square earlier tonight as tear gas floats down the street behind them. Cops are using water cannon and tear gas to push back the protesters. I gotta hand it to this person, this young lady, this old lady, this woman, Jen, I got to hand it to her. She puts up live stream links, great pictures, participating. I invited her to call in on the show, but she said that she would probably be down at the square. I invited her about 6 hours ago, but she said she'd be, out of pocket. She'd be busy in the streets. It's nice to do radio shows. It's nice to post things on Facebook. It's nice. But the real action is out in the streets. Find people in your community and take some action. Hey, July 20th, another Monsanto rally. That's your next big chance. She's got a great picture of a close-up of a protester's. He's holding in his left hand, got a wristwatch on, a T-shirt, black jeans, but he's holding lemons. What, is he going to make lemonade? No. So the protester is holding lemons as thousands gather on the street just blocks from Tascom Square earlier tonight as tear gas floats down the street behind them. Lemon juice, folks. Lemon juice helps relieve the effects of the tear gas. More water cannon, more tear gas, more lemons, more flags, more fun. Six Flags. It's a great picture of a high, I wouldn't call it a high rise, but it's got to be at least a 10 or 15 story building with huge banners. It's a banner drop. You know what I mean by a banner drop? You get to the top of a parking garage. We did one here at Mayday. You mock up a nice big banner, whatever you want to say, and you go to the top of the building and you unfurl it and drop your banner for everybody below to see. It's really inspiring. It's about, 10, 15 banners here. A bunch of people on the rooftops. But, of course, the cops, removed the banners from the building after they retook the building. It's just really stunning. And there's a great picture here, a group of protesters forcing a water cannon truck to actually back up. as the cops moved in on Tascom Square early in the morning. You don't see that every day. Somebody get a little too far extended, perhaps? Pigs. Tear gas filling Tascom Square early in the morning. This is 7 hours ago. As the morning cops move in. She's got a lot of support on her page. A lot of people chiming in. Solidarity, etc. People dancing the tango. Protesters. Time for a little art. See, we need less profits and capitalism and more art and equality. I'm just saying. It's a great video of protesters dancing the tango in Gezi Park. I like it. And if you want to donate, if you want to support her work, you can donate just again. Go to jennapope.com. How's that? jennapope.com. Two N's in Jenna. Because if you're sick of the mainstream media ignoring the real news or twisting the real story, then you know what? This is the place to go. Her name is Jenna Pope. She's crowdfunded, okay? That means you and me. Throw her $5. Throw her $10. Throw her $1. And check out her website, jennapope.com, and then, of course, her Facebook page. Crowdsourcing. Because you ain't going to get it from the lamestream media, from the mainstream corporate-owned fascist media, the propaganda stations, you know, the alphabet stations, ABC, NBC, CBS, FOX. I think I'm going to quit calling it Fox and just call it FOX, because really there's – when you say ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, and then you say Fox, it's like all of those are in one category and Fox is in the other category. But really, it's just FOX. They're all alphabet. The alphabet soup of corporate propaganda outlets. I could go on and on. There's a picture of brave souls standing in front of water cannon trucks right before the cops attempted to clear the square using the cannon and the tear gas early Tuesday morning. This was 5 hours ago. But it was 5:30 a.m. at that time on Wednesday, and the protesters are still in the park despite the cops attacking them all night long. She's being picked up over at Salon.com, so if you want to check her out on Salon.com, you can. Well, fuck. Now it's raining. The moisture may reactivate the tear gas that's left on people's skin. I hope those in Gezi Park are staying safe and dry. This is 4 hours ago. Hope they're staying safe and dry. I think it's time for me to attempt to fit in a quick nap. Even if I can't sleep after everything that happened yesterday. There's a grandmother, kind of heavy set, probably in her 60s, maybe. Maybe she's a great-grandmother. She's got her hair back in a bun. She's got her purse around her hip like a, what do they call those? It's a purse, but it's around her hip. Like a fanny pack, but it's big. And she's got a gas mask on. This nice purple and black blouse. Behind the barricades. And she's holding a slingshot. And she's got it wound back, pulled back, ready to fire. She's got to be in her 60s. The caption is, "I wish my mom had the courage to do this." Tascom Square, Turkey, June 11th, 2013. Viva la revolution. And 2 hours ago, this is the last update. 2 hours ago, Tascom Square is calm, but there's still water cannon trucks in the area. Also, the moisture from the rain is kind of reactivating the tear gas residue on me. Ugh. Jenna Pope, jennapope.com. I like it. I like it a lot. All right, I think I want to take another break. We want to come back. We'll talk about something else. We'll do something else. Now the only thing is, how shall we take a break? Oh, I played this last week. I'm going to play it again. It's the Pink of the Bear Show. Don't go away.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls. Has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. All will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass. And dictators die. And dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world. To do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world. To fulfill that promise. Let us all unite. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you. Tell you what to do, what to think and what to feel. Unnatural men, machine men, with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines, you are men. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. Let us use the power to make this life a wonderful adventure. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, to do away with greed. Do not despair, the hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite!
Ah, I like it a lot. A little auto-tune version of the part of the great dictator speech from Charlie Chaplin. By the way, there is one other update from Jenna, and then I'll leave this alone. This was about an hour ago. I shared this on my wall. But for some reason, I didn't see it on her wall just now. Maybe I needed to refresh the page. I don't know. Can't believe I made it through the day without a scratch on me. Was hit with a water cannon, tear gassed multiple times, and fell down onto gravel while I was blinded inside the tear gas. Yet right now, I'm all okay. Good for you. Keep those reports coming. So, just changing gears. I've got a friend who I find very interesting, intellectual, smart. He's a poet and an author from New York City. His name is Phil Rockstraw. And just kind of speaks to what I was talking about at the top of the show about liberals and how they are so much part of the problem. Yet, you know, we have more in common than we don't. They just don't see it yet. Just like real lefties and radicals, pinko commies, anarchists, have more in common with the American version of libertarians, though they don't see it yet. They focus solely on the government instead of on hierarchy and on the ruling class and aggregated wealth at the top that basically runs the world. They don't see it yet. And I know sometimes I get snarky and pissy about people who don't get it. And I get it that I'm not perfect. So Anyway, Phil writes, according to a re- and this is true, according to a recent poll by Pew Research Center and the Washington Post, check this out, 64% to 34%, 64 to 34, that's the margin. Democrats view the practice of massive phone surveillance by the NSA as acceptable. 64% think it's okay. But if you go back to 2006, same poll, same questions, asking Democrats. 61% said it was unacceptable. 36% said it was. So it used to be, you know, 61 to 36 against surveillance being acceptable. And now that there is a Democrat in the office, it's basically reversed itself. Actually, more than reversed itself, 64 to 34. So he says these are the same smug, supercilious partisan types who guffaw and grumble over Republican hypocrisy, who are perpetually warning that, hey, if the ring of power falls into the hands of the Republican Sauron, the world will fall into unceasing darkness. Yet when these same self-proclaimed protesters, or excuse me, protectors of all that is decent and free hold power, namely the Democrats, when these self-proclaimed protectors of all that is decent and free hold power, Democratic partisans become as self-aware as Gollum, grappling for the precious upon the precipice of Mount Doom. I like the way he writes. Great picture of Gollum, too. Too bad this is radio. And yet the Obots will still defend. 64% said no to surveillance. Just, 7 years ago. But now that their guy's in office, he's got a D. He's got a D in front of his name. He's a Democrat. 64% say yes to surveillance. You see why I'm having a problem with Democrats? Now, just to be fair, you got to realize that the pool of Democrats that they could poll has changed dramatically in the last 5 years. There's a lot of people who used to be Democrats who are no longer Democrats. I'm one. A lot of us have figured this out. It's a game. It's masterpiece theater. No, it's not. It's wrestling. It's Hulk Hogan versus Hollywood Hogan. It's the good guy versus the bad guy. But the real bad guys, the billionaires and killionaires, they own both wrestlers. It doesn't matter who wins. The billionaires and killionaires of this world own the arena. They own the parking lot. They own the hot dog vendors and the t-shirt vendors. They own the cheerleaders, the marketing company. They own it all. And it's just a big show. Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan. Really? Yeah, well, both paid by the same people. But so a lot of people have left. A lot of people have figured this out, and they're not Democrats. So, you know, maybe that's part of the answer as to why those numbers have flipped. I don't know. Are you a Democrat and you want to call in and defend Obama? Do you want to call in and give us your story and how you woke up and realized that he was a war criminal or is one and he only serves the ruling class? 213-816-0357. On any subject tonight, that's fine. And I do want to give a shout out to the chat room. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hello, chat room. How are you? Nice to have you. By the way, I don't monitor the chat room during the show, so if you ask me anything in the chat room, if you say anything, I don't have a producer. I don't look at the chat room very often, maybe sometimes during breaks. So also, if somebody's bothering you, there is a little button that you can put them on hide so you won't see what they're saying if some of the conversation gets a little too inane for you. Sometimes on BTR late at night, well, you know, there be trolls, here be monsters, there be trolls. And, you know, don't let it bother you. Just use the hide button there and everything will be fine. I love this one from Lydia. Lydia's a friend of mine on Facebook. A fighter. She's a fighter. Lydia, if you're listening, I thought this was worth sharing. Sometimes I dream that I'm Michelle Obama. I love her and the kids and, well, Barack, too. Back in 2007, I hated unjustified military actions. I resented the intrusiveness of the Patriot Act. I hated Bush and Cheney. I hated the war in Iraq. Why? Well, I knew it was wrong when he, Barack, said he didn't support stupid wars. Stupid. Duh. I even supported the prosecution of banksters and not whistleblowers and medical marijuana, too. Do you remember when he sang like Al Green, "I'm so in love with you"? Oh, my God. I used to support an end to non-transparent government, corporate finance politics, and, of course, being a liberal. I used to. I supported abortion rights, gun control, gay marriage. Hey, it's so great how Michelle has an organic garden, huh? And shops at White House Black Market. Anyway. The greatest event of my life was to have voted for a black man for president, because as a liberal, this support confirmed that I am not a racist. I proudly could drive into my local Starbucks or Whole Foods displaying my Obama 2008 bumper sticker, knowing that other liberals would know that I am not a Republican, a conservative, or a warmonger. But Barack and Michelle, who I loved long before the bangs though they are a bit too long, her bangs, you know, have allowed me to see that liberal is conservative sometimes. But we can still consider it liberal if we really want to. Really? No one's going to make me make sense. And besides, I can't hear you, dummy. La, 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 la. Fingers in my ears. I don't care. Targeted droning seemed wrong in 2007, but after Barack was in office, they seemed fine, even necessary. Then our military actions in Libya, well, then they seemed harsh, but I knew, regardless of what happened to those people, if Bush was in office, those people would have suffered more. I hated to see those people in Guantanamo at first, but you know what? Then I got used to it. And there's really nothing Obama can do anyway, because his hands are tied, you know? Well, when he seems to stray from his promised agenda, I realize that it must be the damn Fox News telling lies. So when confronted on a myriad of issues, from drone strikes to this administration's support of Monsanto's corporation, I just ignore it all. I let those lefties, those lefties are against them too, but they're really just racist Republicans. No one's fooling me, duh. Now, don't get me wrong, I've had my doubts, but when those thoughts enter, I purge them and remember that he said he supports gay marriage. And how cool is that? So that Pakistani woman lost her husband in a signature strike and her child has lost a few limbs. Well, you know what? Who cares? And besides, if Barack says we need to splatter the guts of a few children or a dozen of them in Yemen or to get rid of the bad guys, then you know what? It's got to be necessary, right? And one other thing. I just love Michelle's style. So cool. Don't you? Don't you? All right, it's the Bingo Bear Show. I'm going to take a musical break just because I want to hear the song. And I want you to hear it too. Again, and again, and again, until you get it. It's the ABC of anarchy.
I want to breathe fresh, clean air. Because hope, freedom, and dignity are never on special at Walmart. Because capitalism is a scam.
Yeah, I was I was checking out the chat room during the break, and Jamal from Jamal 187 from Vermont. The problem with this type of thing is that none of our opinions matter. We're pawns on a chessboard to them. Not even. Of course, now the screen is scrolling. Quit typing in there. Hang on a second. We're pawns on the chessboard to them. We are the working class that feed the pawns. Jamal and everybody else listening, yeah, it is a problem. Just opinions don't matter. Facts matter. And having an opinion based on fact or in fact, what you try to do is influence other people. Influence your friends, your family, your coworkers, strangers if you can. Have a radio show. Join groups, activist groups. And it does matter. It really does matter. Because, look, and you think back to the Gilded Age, the height of really just mechanical industrial oppression in this country. We had, 9-year-olds working in coal mines. We had women didn't have the right to vote. Black people were being strung up on trees in the South, burned in churches. We didn't have an 8-hour workday. We had, whatever the bosses decided, 12 hours, 14 hours. And these were not some gifts. The 8-hour workday, the right to vote, Civil Rights Act, these were not gifts given by the ruling class to the working class, to the entire country. These weren't, they weren't given from high above. They were fought for, and it was a ground up thing. It was people pissed off, people upset, people not in control of their lives. And they'd had enough, and people died. People got shot by federal troops. People got gunned down, machine guns at strikes, and in the coal mines. Okay, Haymarket Square, we had 6 martyrs hung there. Okay, you organize and you agitate. You get to know your neighbors, and you talk to them about what the problems are, what they're feeling, what they're going through, and you get them to start asking questions. And then hopefully you're there with the correct answers. It's not the New World Order. It's not the Illuminati. It's not the Freemasons. It's not reptilians from outer space. It's none of that crap. It's aggregated wealth at the top. It's billionaires and killionaires that are running things and pulling the triggers. Well, they hire people to pull the triggers. Triggers on the machine guns. Triggers on the water cannon, on the tear gas canisters. So it's not like we're helpless. And yeah, we are pawns on the chessboard. But if you look at a chessboard, man, there's 16 pawns. And if all the pawns got together on one side against all the kings and queens and knights and rooks and bishops, worthless fucking bishops. I played 3 games of chess tonight. I won all 3. But if all the pawns got together and said, no, I'm not going to fight you, fellow pawn, fellow worker, fellow working class person. I want to fight them. If all the pawns get together, if they get organized, things happen, things change, results happen. So I think it's a little, I understand the sentiment, right? Oh, we can't do anything. Ooh, look, Honey Boo Boo's on. Game of Thrones. I understand the sentiment. Oh, I'm just one person. What can I do? Well, let me tell you something, Jamal, and everyone else. You are one person. And alone, you can't do it. That's why there's a little term called solidarity. That's why we have unions. You didn't get an 8-hour workday without the unions. You didn't get child labor laws without the unions. You didn't get better pay. You didn't get insurance. If you get hurt, work. It used to be you get hurt on the job. Hey, you lose your arm in an industrial accident. Sorry, you're out of work. You're on the street and you starve. But people coming together for common cause make things happen. And so I would encourage you and everybody else to find fellow travelers, fellow workers, to find other people who are upset with the system and want to do something about it. And you'll make a lot of mistakes along the way. I'm in several groups here. We make mistakes all the time. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Hey, let's think this out a little better. We had a fuck the police march about 9 months ago. Not very smart. There was only 8 or 12 of us. Everybody got arrested the moment we stepped off the sidewalk. They were waiting for us. It was practice to the Reno police. Hey, man, did you hear about that? They're going to do a fuck the police march. Okay, well, you hide here and you hide here and la, 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 and we'll all coordinate. Boom. No TV cameras, no nothing. If you're going to do a fuck the police march and you're going to get arrested, make sure there's TV cameras there. Make sure that the brutality is recorded. Make sure it gets on the news. Make sure there's people who don't get arrested who are responsible to get out to the different news outlets and say, hey, this is what's going on. You make mistakes, you learn. Fortunately, in this country right now, making mistakes doesn't get you killed unless you're, you know, really high profile. And it won't even get you killed. It'll just get you in prison for a long time, like Bradley Manning or Snowden if they catch him. I heard a rumor that Russia is offering asylum. I think that's great. Oh, speaking of Russia, I don't want to get into that story. Let me check the board to see. Anyway, I just wanted to address that, Jamal. Don't feel like there's nothing you can do. I know people in Vermont. There are activists in Vermont. There are people organizing protests and marches. There are people doing workshops. People, you know, teaching other people about how to do things and how to get things done. Yeah, it's a long process. It's a slow process. It's painful. You want to give up sometimes, but really, you just want to do nothing. Just accept the increasingly shittier and shittier jobs with fewer and fewer benefits, lower and lower standards of living. Just accept it and watch TV and play video games, read romance novels. You want to do that, and then at the end of your life, why did you live? What's the point? Chomsky has a great 14-second clip. It's on my Facebook page, but I didn't upload it. I wish I did, but I did not take, 3 hours to prepare for the show. But that's okay. It is what it is. So, Jamal, start where you are. Everybody, start where you are. If you don't know anything, learn some things. Get out and find a group. Find a person, a single person. Have conversations. Have coffee with them. Talk to them. Have a beer. Have 10 beers. Talk about things. See what makes sense. Do reptilians running the world make sense? The Illuminati, does that make sense? The New World Order, does Alex Jones make sense? Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, does any MSNBC, does it make sense? CNN? Look, this is not easy. And you're not nobody comes to politics fully formed. You have to learn along the way, and you'll believe stuff that's not true for a while, and then it'll dawn on you, oh, that's not true. Then after a while, though, after maybe a good while, but you got to put work into it. Like anything, to become good at something, you have to put work into it. You know, it doesn't come easy. It's not free. So use some free time, meet some people, have some conversations, show up to a rally even if you don't really know what it's all about. Show up, talk to people. It's really all about solidarity, education, solidarity, organizing, agitating. Whole world, the history of the whole world is all about class struggle. We've made improvements over the last couple of hundred years. Things are much better now than they were 200 years ago. Things are better now than they were 80 years ago, 50 years ago. They're not better than they were 30 years ago, but hey, sometimes the pendulum swings back the other way. Tony, those are some final thoughts for tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening, everybody in the chat room, everybody who listens on the podcast. TCPN, the Commons Project Network. This will be posted up there. Of course, it'll be available on Blog Talk in about an hour as well. And I love you. I love you all. But I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. Good night, everybody.
Solid. Arise, ye workers from your slumber. Arise, ye prisoners of want. That's right. For reason in revolt now thunder. Chains of hatred, greed, and fear. Ha ha! Away with all your superstitions. Serve our masters. Arise, arise. We'll change henceforth the old tradition and spurn the dust to win the prize. So, comrades, come on and rally. Then the last fight, let us face the international, unite the whole darn human race. So, comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face the international, unite the whole darn human race. No more deluded by reaction. On tyrants only we'll make war. The soldiers too will take strike action. They'll break ranks and fight no more. And if those cannibals keep trying to sacrifice us to their pride, each at the fort must do their duty, and we'll strike while the iron is hot. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face the international, unite the whole beautiful human race. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. Ha! And the last fight, let us face the international, unite the whole darn
everybody. Get out there. Get active. Do something. Tag. You're it.